Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Thursday. It is the 1st of July, 2021. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. And because it is Thursday, with me, as always, I have Bob Levitis. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Kelly. Thank you for having me again.
Always. First thing I want to tell people is a small housekeeping note before you and I get started. I want to make sure we get the word out that due to the holiday, we're going to extend the weekend at the Mac Observer, so there will be no show on Monday the 5th. So that was it, just to give everybody a heads up. So Bob, you are here to talk to us, and I'm going to go ahead and just get this out there. I'm going to get ahead of the story, as they say. I am going to take full responsibility for this since it's basically my fault, as you made very clear when we were off air.
Yes. This is because of me. Entirely for this column. This is the Kelly Memorial. It's not memorial. You're still there, but it's your column. I just wrote it for you.
Okay.
No, we talked about this offline about 3 months ago, and I put a note in my little possible column topics to-do list. And I got to thinking about it, and I thought, you know, lately with COVID, I have seen so many people, like, you know, I've gotten out lately. I've been going to places like coffee shops and bars and restaurants, and I've been seeing people abusing their bodies and abusing, misusing their laptops. And it just shocked me. These people, they're young. They don't want to grow up and have back pain and you know, chronic back conditions. And I want to yell at them. Come on, have some posture. You don't be silly.
Yeah.
I'm not a real doctor, but I have learned a few things about preventing long-term damage to my body.
Yes.
And one of them is you got to pay close attention to your posture. And if you work 8 hours or 10 hours a day, that means while you work, that means you really have to pay attention when you're in your chair with your fingers on a keyboard to how you're sitting and, you know, how your workspace is organized and arranged so as not to cause you any muscle or ligament damage. So
undue harm, we would call it.
Yeah. Yeah, the first thing that I noticed is that most people have no idea that your screen ought to, if things were, all things being equal, your eyeballs should be somewhere, pointing somewhere near the middle of your screen.
Mm-hmm. If you look straight ahead as you sit up straight.
Yeah, without craning your neck up or down. Right, exactly. If you sit looking straight ahead, your eyeballs should be somewhere in the middle to, you know, top third, top quarter, I don't know. But middle of a big screen, right in front of your eyes without tilting your head up or down. Mm-hmm. Trust me, that's a lot less wear and tear on your joints than craning your neck either way.
Yes.
And especially craning your neck downward so your chin is touching your chest the way you do when your laptop is in your lap and you're typing on it, fold it up, you know, it's like folded on the angle so it'll sit against your belly while you type. Yeah, that is not good for you, kids. That is really so not good for you.
It really isn't.
And but after luckily, decades of ignoring my posture and work ergonomic, and developing chronic back pain, I've learned to pay attention and do stuff to make a concerted effort that when I sit at my keyboard, I am sitting up straight when I type, and that my hands are in the proper position for typing and mousing with the least amount of strain.
And there are a lot of easy ways to make this happen.
And cheap.
Yes.
You know, my old way was I put my laptop on a stack of books. They were big books, and it was a big laptop.
Yes.
But I piled them up the right height, and at this time, I didn't have a second screen, so all I needed was for my laptop to be at roughly eye level, and a pile of books worked. And then after that, I built something out of spare lumber that I had. I make things out of wood now, and I had lots of spare wood, so I made a little stand for... But then I got pitched this product called the Roost Laptop Stand, and my life has never been the same. So, yeah, it's this like 5-ounce carbon fiber high-tech stand that will let you adjust your laptop to anywhere within a range of about, I guess, 12 inches. But it elevates it to close to eye level. Mm-hmm. But it folds up and is travelable. It weighs next to nothing. Mm-hmm. And for me, it sits on my desk most of the time. And it makes it so that my laptop is sitting up high enough that I can actually use it open. Mm-hmm. I used to close it and use an external monitor, which eliminates the need for it to be at eye level, but also eliminates, you know, 13 diagonal inches of screen real estate. It's like, why would I want to waste all that good screen real estate when I can use the Roost stand to put it at the right level? And it sits next to, that's my second thing, is I can't promise you that having a second display will be ergonomically positive for you.
Right.
It might or might not, but it will make you more productive. And so for me, I recommend, since all Apple laptops support at least one external display, I recommend you, when you sit at your desk, use a bigger monitor instead of, or at least, I mean, either instead of or in addition to. I don't know why you would close your laptop if you had a Roost stand that put it at the right height. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, why would you want to not use that? If that was your purpose, why didn't you buy a Mac Mini? Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, but I digress.
So the Roost stand, I have one. I adore mine. Mine is like the OG Roost stand. It comes in a slightly different form factor now. It still like expands and collapses the same. It collapses into this long, thin sort of metal. It's very cool, and it expands out flat. You can put your laptop on it. It's rock solid. The original version I've seen in action holding up an old MacBook Pro, a 17-inch machine. Like, I've seen it hold one of those monsters up, and it didn't even flinch. So they're super great.
I have to remind people, you don't type on it when it's in the Roost stand.
No.
I mean, you can do light typing if you care to, but that's my next tip is,
yes,
now that you've put your laptop at the right height, why don't you sit in the right position to type comfortably for hours and hours, which means an external keyboard, because the Roost stand puts the... You know, raises up your laptop at least 6 inches off the desk, which makes it, and puts it at an awkward angle for typing,
yes,
but a perfect angle for viewing, right?
Right.
So you need an external keyboard. And while you're at it, you also need an external mouse or trackpad.
Or, yes. And I want to make sure we talk about the trackpad.
Yes. And since I've talked about mice plenty on this show, I'm going to leave it to you to talk trackpads today.
Well, the first thing about it is, full disclosure, I personally use an external trackpad, and part of the reason I love it is because it gives me the same experience as I have if I pick my laptop up off of my Roost stand on my desk and take it with me somewhere. It's the same sort of interaction. I'm not going from, oh, I don't have a scroll wheel right now, or I don't have this button that I click that does that thing, because I don't have those. I just have a trackpad. So for me, it's a lot easier. I did use a mouse for a while, and I just found it easier to have everything be a trackpad, and the only adjustment I really had to make was I am moving from the trackpad being to the right of my keyboard to the trackpad being underneath my keyboard. That's the only difference.
Heresy.
Well, to you. So for me, it makes it a much better experience overall to make that happen. Your mileage may vary, but one of the things that I like about it is that I do use a fair number of the gestures that are built into macOS, and I think and they're great, and I get to use them all the time, whether I'm sitting at my desk or whether I'm taking my computer with me. And part of the reason I find sometimes, like, people have asked me, like, people will see my desk and go, but, like, how do you do anything, you know, with the trackpad? And I'm like, well, it's the same way as everybody else does. Like, you know, I just don't use all the clicky buttons on the Logitech MX Master 3, like my friend Bob Levitis does. But I think part of the reason people don't necessarily have one all the time is because it's not an option that you see a lot. Like, Apple makes an external trackpad, but most other people don't. So if you want to go to a store and look at, I need something to move the cursor around on my computer, Apple makes a trackpad, and then there's all these other manufacturers that make all kinds of other different mice and trackballs that you can use, but no trackpads. So it seems like Apple's basically the only one that does. So I find that stuff, I find that interesting, and I think that's part of why maybe sometimes people don't consider them as a choice. Maybe you don't see them at all. Like, if you're at Best Buy, I don't think you're necessarily going to see an Apple trackpad sitting in the section with all the Logitech mice. It's been a long time since I've been into a Best Buy, but the last time I was there, I don't remember that being the case. So that's part of why I want to pitch the trackpad. Like, maybe it's worth trying and see if you like it.
If they'd only make a trackpad with 7 buttons and a scroll wheel, I would be very happy with it.
And, you know, I was going to say, like, we can get into the whole
brain works.
We can get into the whole tap to click holy war later for people who want to have that discussion. But at least, like, for now, the, you know, one of the things to consider is that you get a good external device, that whatever it is, make sure it feels comfortable to you. This is the other thing. If something, like, if, you know, well, when I sit here and type, after an hour, one of my wrists gets kind of sore. You don't want to do that anymore, because if it gets sore every day, that's your wrist telling you this isn't right for whatever reason, whether it's because the keyboard is uncomfortable, whether it's because you're at a bad angle. You and the keyboard just do not get along, whatever it is. Like, there's something going on there, and you have to listen to that and make sure that you're not just trying to power through, because you can do long-term damage later. So, and you don't want to do that. So just make sure it's comfortable.
I know a writer who can no longer use his keyboard. He has no choice but to use dictation because he did damage to his carpal tunnel ligament or whatever they are.
But yeah.
It's a real thing.
Oh,
so
it is.
Those of you who are sitting there with your laptop touching your belly while you type, give some thought to that.
Yeah. It's definitely a thing to consider. And but, you know, another part of it is just sort of like comfort and making sure it feels good. Like, just getting an external keyboard isn't going to help you if it doesn't feel good to use, because then you won't use it, and then it won't, you know, you'll be right back where you started. So
that's right.
That would be another tip I would give.
You know, I have another tip. If you have big hands, I highly recommend the Microsoft Ergonomic Keyboard 4000.
Okay.
It's been in continuous production for as long as I can remember, and it's just designed for people with big hands. Mm-hmm. A lot of the keys are larger than normal. And
okay.
It's a split angled keyboard that's really comfortable to type on.
Yeah.
And you can get it at Amazon for $40. So it's a wired keyboard. But if you, like me, find Apple keyboards a little cramped for your big fat fingers, you might like the Microsoft Ergonomic, which is, it's a boat. I mean, it's like having an aircraft carrier parked on your desk. But it's really comfortable to type on.
It is super comfortable. Yes, I have spent time with that one. And yeah.
Well, I like it so much that I bought a spare and put it on my shelf, because I keep thinking, one of these days they're going to stop making these,
stop.
And they're going to end up being $300, and I'm going to be really mad that I don't have a pile of them.
Yep.
And they work with everything, by the way. You can
it's just a plain old USB connector. Yeah,
you can actually connect it to your iPad if you care to. I mean, mm-hmm. I've only done it a couple times, and it's mostly a party trick. But
yeah,
it
can be
work.
Done. Yeah,
it could be. Yeah, it's right, and it's very comfortable. If I had to write a lot on an iPad, mm-hmm. I might consider doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. Other options.
Yes.
We got your raising the eyeball. We got the external keyboard and trackpad. What else you got? I got excellent multi-adjustable ergonomic chair.
Ooh, okay.
Right? So talk you to me should about have this a chair. Good chair. Have a good. It doesn't matter what chair. It just needs to be adjustable so that you can have your feet on the ground with your legs at the right angle, which is kind of like a 90-degree, you know, thing with your knees, and your armrests allowing you to put your hands directly over the keyboard without strain on your ligaments or your carpals or whatever tunnel you have.
Yes.
You know, the idea is your chair should be of the type that you can adjust all of the different things to get a perfectly comfortable thing where your eyes are at eye level with the screen, your hands are sitting in the correct position right over the keyboard, you can grab your mouse or trackpad without straining, and you know, I don't think you need a Herman Miller $900 ergonomic chair.
You really don't. I
think you just need a chair that's multi-adjustable. And, you know, designed to let you move it the way you need to give you the best support when you're working. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know what brand mine is. I went to the office chair store and mm-hmm. looked for one that had adjustments that worked for me.
Yeah.
It was about $250-$300, and it was a good investment.
Yeah, it really is, especially if you work at home.
Yeah, if you work, well, yeah, oh, especially if you work at home, because now you're responsible mm-hmm. for your own back. You know, most places you can bring in your own chair if you want, but it's kind of weird, you know, to bring in your really groovy chair while everybody else is sitting on crappy 12-year-old recycled chair. Anyway.
But so also, like, I want to underscore your point that it's not an expensive endeavor.
No, it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, and especially if you think about it, you know, I'm going to use this chair for, you know, however many years you're going to use it.
10 years,
right?
Yeah.
And, you know, not only are you going to use it, like, all of that time, but then, you know, all of the other time that you spend sitting in it. Because you may sit in it for, you know, when you're doing stuff on your personal computer. Like, if it's, you know, if your personal computer's in the same place and that sort of thing. So when you really think about the amount of time that's going to go into this chair, like, spending $300 and getting 10 years out of it is going to be a pretty solid investment. And it's really, really worth it. And if you ask anybody who has seen the light and was able to bring themselves to spend some actual money on a chair, they will tell you it was one of the smartest things I ever did, and I wish I did it sooner. That's like the only thing I know that people I know who have bought actual chairs have in common is they wish they'd done it sooner.
I couldn't agree more. And my last suggestion, and this one's totally optional based on, you know, how you feel about these things, uh-huh. but I don't like to sit for long. You know, if I sit for more than about an hour, my joints start to tighten up and I need to stretch more. I need to get up and move around. And so, for me, having a sit-stand desk, a desk that I can adjust mm-hmm. and use, I can work at while standing up for a while, yes. makes a big difference. And it's not a cheap thing if you want one that's, you know, motorized. I don't have a motor. I crank mine.
Yeah.
And you can even find things that will, like, let you adjust your monitor and then move your keyboard and mouse and just kind of jerry-rig the whole thing without buying a purpose-built stand-sit desk.
Yeah.
You know, I have a cardboard thing that's like a riser that you can put on your desk if you want to stand up and type for a while. Mm-hmm. And it would work. I mean, it checks all the boxes for like $30.
Yeah. Especially if you want to try it out, if you're not sure if a standing desk is for you, you can get one of these, like, their desk converters or something like that, you know, and it just lifts your keyboard and mouse and monitor, or if you have a laptop, it just lifts all of that up a couple of feet so that when you stand up, it makes a difference to what you're doing.
Right.
So,
yeah. And I like being able to, you know, if I'm typing for a couple hours, after a while, it feels really nice to stand up and work for 15 or 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. I really think I want a treadmill desk.
Yeah.
Because I like want to multitask. I want to also burn some calories while I'm standing.
Uh-huh.
It's like, wouldn't that be good? And I think for a lot of the things I do at my desk, especially reading stuff, the treadmill mm-hmm. would be fine. You know, it's like, I don't have any problem treadmilling and reading a web page. So I'm thinking maybe my next desk will be a treadmill desk, a stand sit treadmill desk, but that's really, I think, excessive for most people.
Yeah.
But it's a consideration. I mean, if you can afford it and you'd like to burn a few calories during the day, give it a shot.
Yeah, a walking desk is a good idea. Yeah. Also, yeah, I have a sit-stand desk, and mine is mostly most of the way up. Not quite standing, but I will have like a tall chair that I sort of lean on, like kind of like a bar stool height chair. And I find that that makes it easier for me to walk away from my desk because I'm most of the way standing up anyway.
You're almost standing.
Yeah, because...
That's a great idea.
I'm super sedentary if I'm sitting down. If I sit down, I'm very, very good at continuing to sit there for a long time. I don't have the problem you have about wanting to get up and walk around. I have the opposite problem. I end up sitting a lot. So if I'm most of the way standing anyway, then when it crosses my mind to go, yeah, I should get some more water, I should, you know, walk around a little bit, get a change of scenery, not keep staring at my screens, then it makes it a lot easier to do that. So
I thought of one more thing that I found pretty comfortable a while back, but it didn't really fit with my stand sit desk, but I used to sit on one of those balance chairs where you kneel on it, and it forces you, by the way that the actual chair saddle is angled, it forces you to sit erect with your shoulders back. It's like you almost can't hunch over when you're sitting with your knees tucked under you like this. And I found it really comfortable for a really long time. Yeah. I had one of those for a long time. But it became more important to me to have elbows, you know, arm support and lower back support. So I went to a nice ergonomic chair. But a balanced chair is really, really comfortable.
And sitting on
one of those big ball chairs is pretty good too.
And I will point out that
keeps you moving your core, so you get some stretching done while you're sitting on those.
Well, and the story you just told is also important too. Like, your needs will change over time, so pay attention to that. Just because it used to be comfortable, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whenever it was you set things up in the first place, it may not be comfortable now because your body is not the same body it was 10 years ago.
Really?
Bob and I'll have a separate podcast later.
That's terrible news.
About, you know, the old Gray Mary and what she used to be. So we'll tell you about that later.
But if you follow all of our advice in this podcast today, you won't have to worry about it when you get old like us.
There you go. Us. Listen to you.
All right. Old like
anyway.
Me. Kelly's not nearly as old as I am.
Sometimes, Bob, it depends on the day. But that's going to do it for us. If you have more questions about ergonomics, or if you have questions about the stuff that we use, if we didn't mention any of it on the show, you can always get a hold of us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. Thanks, Bob, for coming by.
Always a pleasure.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.